Well, it's good to be back with you, and it's always a privilege to share fellowship and to share the Word of God with the Lord's people. So if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Commencing to read at verse 1 through to verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. The little verse I want to leave with you this morning, a key verse, is that verse, verse 8. And the theme of the message, being positive in our attitude, in our thinking, in our Christianity, in these days when there's so much to discourage, so much spiritual darkness, it's good to keep our eyes upon the Lord. Being positive in our thinking. The mind, the brain, is an exceptional part of the human body. It controls every thought, every emotion, every beat of the heart, every muscle movement, every breath that we take. The brain is an amazing, complex structure, the most amazing in the universe. And yet, I understand it only weighs approximately 3 pounds. I think mine weighs half a pound, but there it is. But it's an amazing structure. Scripture tells us, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Being positive, keeping our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Thinking positive keeps the mind of the child of God pure and clean. pure and clean. Think what Paul had suffered at the hands of Satan and of man. He'd suffered much. He'd been beaten with rods. He'd been scourged. He'd suffered shipwreck on two occasions. He'd been stoned and left for dead. He'd been imprisoned 3 years in Caesarea, 3 years in Rome. He'd suffered greatly. And yet, he could say, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, think on these things." I feel that one can miss out so much by being negative in one's thinking. In life, there are times when people can hurt us. People can say and spread malicious rumors about us. People can do us harm. And it's so easy to center our minds and our hearts upon these things. It's so easy to go through the Christian life with the shadow of what people have done and what people have said. And we miss out spiritually. We miss out God's blessing. So, thinking positively keeps the mind clean and pure. And then, thinking positively frustrates the enemy's access to the mind and disrupts his plan. The devil does have access to the mind. We know that he has access to the mind of the unbelievers. We have only to look around today and we see things happening. 20, 30, 40 years ago, one would have never thought, but things are happening today. And it's amazing. When you think of young men on scooters riding round and throwing acid in people's faces. I read of a case recently of an old gent taking his dog for a walk early in the morning, and a man stepping out from behind a tree stabbed him in the neck, left him for dead. Didn't even know him. Didn't know him. Things are happening. But not only does the old enemy have access to the mind of the unsaved, but he has access to the mind of the believer. The believer, the mind of the believer, often becomes the battleground between forces of righteousness and forces of darkness. The mind of the believer. There are times when the old enemy can bombard the mind with doubts and fears so that one doesn't know where one stands. The Apostle Paul tells us, and it's so true, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of this dark of this darkness and wicked spirits in high places." There's a battle raging today that many Christians little understand. It's a battle that's raging. And the sad thing is that there's so little understanding. Yes, the old enemy have access to the mind of even the Christian. Let me illustrate. Perhaps one has had a time of fellowship, a time of sweet communion in the presence of the Lord. One has been blessed, encouraged, and yet one leaves the prayer center or the prayer closet, and suddenly an evil thought will flash across the mind. An evil thought. Perhaps a filthy thought. And one feels ashamed. One feels guilty. One might even begin to wonder, am I a Christian? That these thoughts have come to the mind. In all probability, dear friend, those thoughts are not our thoughts. They're the thoughts of the enemy that he has flushed across the mind. And there's a simple test. When those thoughts come, if we feel ashamed, if we feel embarrassed, they're not our thoughts. They're the thoughts of the enemy. We face an enemy. And there is a battle that is raging today. But thinking positively frustrates the enemy's access to the mind. To the mind. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, "We cannot stop the birds flying over our heads, but we can certainly stop them building their nests in our hair." In our hair. When those thoughts come, we're not to dwell upon them. We're not even to think about them. We're to cast them forth. The danger is when we think of them, well then, they can enter the heart. And that's dangerous. Dangerous. The Apostle Paul could say, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things." Think on these things. And then, thinking positively enables the Lord to speak to us. To speak to us. You see, there are times when the Lord cannot speak to us, even as his dear children, because our minds are taken up with other things. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with the burdens of life. Sometimes the problems in the home, with the children. We're overwhelmed. Sometimes, perhaps, a visit to the doctor, a bad report, and one is overwhelmed. And God cannot speak to us. We pray, but we're not listening for his voice. It might be business, one's business affairs, financial problems, overwhelmed, and God cannot speak. Let me give you an illustration you're very familiar with. Elijah, the prophet. There was an occasion when poor Elijah was overwhelmed. He'd proved victory on Mount Carmel. You'll remember the scene. It had been decided that the God who would answer by fire would be the true and living God. And the prophets of Baal, they willingly accepted the challenge. Willingly. Because they knew that Satan could send fire from the heavenlies. They knew it. But Elijah prayed. And Elijah bound the enemy in the heavenlies so that he couldn't send the fire. He couldn't. I wonder, dear friends, what do we know about binding the enemy in the heavenlies? There's much fire falling today. Much fire. And it's not the fire of God. But Elijah bound the enemy. And the Lord Jesus himself said, unless we bind the enemy, we will never rob him of his goods. Never rob him of his goods. There's a battle raging. And we know that Elijah prayed, didn't he? And the Lord sent the fire. And the people cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. It was a wonderful victory against the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtaroth. But the next day, Elijah got a letter. And it was a letter from hell. Hell. He read it, and Jezebel threatened to take away his life. And poor Elijah panicked. He ran into the wilderness. He sat under the juniper tree, and he cried, Father, take away my life. I want to die. Take me. I'm no better than my fathers before me. Take me. He was so overwhelmed that God couldn't speak to him. He wasn't thinking rationally. He thought that he and he alone was standing for God. And yet the Lord had 7 men who had never bowed the knee to Baal. He wanted to die. And yet God had 15 years more ministry for his child. Eventually, God was able to get through to him. He was. Yes, thinking positively, keeping our eyes on God, enables the Lord to speak to us. He longs to speak to us, to guide us, to direct us. There are times when we allow the things of life to overwhelm us. Notice, thinking positively is the result of what we put into the mind. And that's very important. What we put into the mind. You'll remember when the Lord called Joshua. Joshua 1 verse 8 and 9. But the Lord said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from thee, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night. God's word is important. And I feel that as believers, we should read more. I know I should. The word of God. And not only read the word of God, but meditate upon it. Memorize it. Take it to heart. We should have the word of God at our fingertips, because the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And the word of God is mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. Now the enemy doesn't fear the dead letter. The enemy knows the word. He doesn't fear the dead letter. But he does fear the word of God when it's given in the power of the Spirit. He has no defense against God's word when it's given in the power of the Spirit. We need to meditate upon the things of God and the word of God. And of course, we have the perfect illustration, don't we, in the life of Jesus. In the wilderness, driven into the wilderness by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the enemy. A 40-day fast. He fasted for 40 days. The temptation of the enemy. The old enemy drew near. And at the end of the fast, the old enemy, a threefold temptation. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. Humanly speaking, Jesus was hungry. And the old enemy knew that. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. The second temptation, he took the Lord to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and said to the Lord, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The third temptation, he took Jesus to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms before him and the glory, and said, fall down and worship me, and I will give you all this, because it's been given to me. Jesus, three quotations from the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. Three quotations from the book of Deuteronomy. And the devil had to flee. He had to go. He has no defense against the word of God when it's given in the power of the Spirit. We need to know God's word. And we need to have the Word of God at our fingertips. And we need to know how to use the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. I can remember many years ago moving to a new church, a new locality over there in Ulster. We moved to Bangor, County Down. And I didn't realize it at the time, but opposite the manse, there was a family, there was a man, and he was a leader of a false sect. It had quite a following in the town. And I knew that sooner or later, we would come face to face. And one day, I happened to be walking home up the street, and he saw me, came across, introduced himself, and he broached the subject. He was working in the insurance business, and he'd noticed that I had two little girls, and he asked if they were insured. And so he talked, and he invited himself across to the manse the following morning. He wanted to talk to me about insurance. But I went home that night, and I said to my wife that the man opposite was calling, and he was calling to talk about insurance. And my wife said to me, Eric, you know nothing about insurance. Well, that was right. I said, yes. But I said, he's not calling to talk about insurance. He's not calling to talk about insurance. And sure enough, the following morning, he came across, introduced himself. My wife, she had to leave to take the children to school. So she took them to school. And the man broached the subject now of insurance, and the telephone rang. And I answered the telephone. It was my wife. The car had run out of petrol on the ring road around Bangor, a typical woman driver. The car had run out of petrol. So I said to the man, "You'll have to excuse me. My wife's car has run out of petrol. I'll have to go and help." So I drove up the ring road, took petrol with me, solved the problem, came back. And for some reason, when I drove into the drive of the man's, I opened the bonnet of the car, my car, and I began to look at different things, and I caught a glimpse of the man coming across the road, and he was hurrying. And the Lord told me, this is it. He came across, he opened the gate, he came towards me, and he made a statement. And of course, it was a statement of criticism against the church and against the gospel. Now, if I had known he was coming, I would have prepared myself. But I didn't know. But the challenge was there. And without a thought on my part, a verse of scripture came to mind. And I gave him the verse of scripture. Without a word of exaggeration, it was as if I hit him between the eyes with my fist. He took 3 steps back, and I could see the man was completely shaken. When he had recovered, he made another statement of criticism and condemnation. Another verse came to mind, and I just give it to him. Exactly the same effect. Perhaps I was more surprised, more bewildered than him, at the sheer power of the Word of God. The Word of God. And I can remember thinking to myself, this is the power of God's Word. He came forward a third time. He made another statement. And another verse came to mind. And I just give it to him. And this time, he went back 3-4 steps, turned round, went through the gate, and literally ran across the road. I never saw that man for months. But you know, I can remember thinking at the time, the power of God's Word. It's the sword of the Spirit. And as Christians, we need to know God's Word. The Lord Jesus quoted the Word of God. And the old enemy cannot stand God's Word. It's not a case of argument. It's not a case of debate when one is dealing with the enemy. We need to know God's Word. And the sad thing today, dear friends, is that our forefathers knew the Word of God. Our forefathers knew God's Word. They read God's Word. They read God's Word. And so, to be positive, We need to fill the mind with God's word. Finally, thinking positive demands effort and restraint on our part. Think the Apostle Paul, when he wrote these words, think of what he was facing. He was on trial. He'd been falsely accused by the leadership of the Jerusalem church. He'd suffered in Caesarea for 3 years. He was in Rome, and on 2 occasions, he suffered imprisonment. And yet, Paul knew that ultimately he would pay the supreme price. But was he fearful? Was he doubtful? No. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. There's so much today to distract us. There's so much to bring us down spiritually. So much. We need to keep our eyes upon the Lord. And we need to think about not the negative things of life, but we need to think of God and His greatness, His power. He's a loving God in all His ways, so gracious, so understanding. I marvel at the grace of God. We need to center our mind upon these things. Personally, I believe we are living in the last days. The last days. This world is becoming increasingly evil and wicked. Wicked. There are cities today that elderly people cannot walk the streets at night because of the dangers that there are. We are living in a wicked world. The old enemy knows. Now, he only knows what God allows him to know. But he knows that the Lord is coming soon. He knows. He cannot stop the coming of the Lord, the second coming. But he's doing his best to frustrate the plans of God. And the old enemy is throwing everything in the battle against the Lord. Everything. And the powers of darkness are coming lower and lower and lower upon the earth. And as the powers of darkness come lower and lower, so evil increases. The sense of evil today can be so real that one can feel it. One can sense it. Evil. We need to think and keep our minds upon the Lord in these evil days, and that demands effort and restraint on our part. It does. And the Lord has given us the weapons, hasn't He? The Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. The prayer of faith. We're in a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, spiritual princes of darkness, powers, the rulers of this world, this world's evil. The battle is on. But the sad thing, many Christians know little of what's happening spiritually. The battle is in the heavenlies. That's where the battle is taking place, in the heavenlies. We see the results upon earth. I trust, dear friends, that we realize and we get into the battle. Sad thing is, there are those who profess to know Jesus as their Savior, and they don't even believe in the enemy. They believe him to be a myth, a figment of the imagination, someone that doesn't really exist. I can tell you, from the Word of God, and from a little experience, he does exist. He does exist. And he's here on earth in these last days. Let us look to him. Thinking positively keeps the mind clean and pure. It enables the Lord to speak to us when we are not overwhelmed by the things that are happening round about us, when we keep our eyes upon the Lord. Thinking positively frustrates the enemy's access to the mind. Thinking positively is the result of what we put into the mind. Let us meditate upon the things of God and indeed concentrate on his precious word so that we have it as the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. The enemy has no defense against the word of God when it's given in the power of the Spirit. He has to flee. He has to give up. He has to run from the field when we take the word of God. I trust the Lord will bless his word to us. Thank you.